So we're in the fifth parak of the Netzach Yisrael. I have it on Daf Kuf Hei Amid Aleph by Abba Sikra. Abba Sikra, the Maral is going to continue the narration of the Gemara, and we'll talk a little bit about it. So he says like this. Now, if you remember, the Maral had previously mentioned that in the times of the Gemara, very interesting, that especially what's going on now, you see that there was never really the same way nowadays, it's not clear what to do with Iran, with Israel. They didn't know what to do back then either. So the Rabbanon, not that they knew, there was a debate. So the Rabbanon felt that they should make peace with the Romans. And there were these Biryuni. Biryuni seemed to be thug-type characters that felt that you got to fight. And if you remember, the Gemara had referenced that what happened was you had these wealthy, very wealthy Jews, Ben-Gurion and those other wealthy Jews, that they had put aside a certain amount of food that would last them the siege. What these Baryuni decided to do is to force the Rabbanim's hand. They burnt it all down. And that caused a tremendous famine, which caused panic, which caused the fighting, which led to the Churban. So he says like this, to continue that Gemara, Abba Sikra, Reish Baryuni Yerushalayim. Abba Sikra was the head of this thug clan in Yerushalayim. And he was Bar Achde de Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was the nephew of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he was the son of the sister of Yochanan ben Zakkai. So this head of the thugs is the nephew of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Fascinating Gemara. Shalach Lei, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai sent him a message. I'm sorry, the Abba Sikra sent him a message. Ta b'tzina l'gavoy. Meet me privately. Ta l'tzina b'gavoy. Come to me privately. So, and they bring it on the bottom. They sort of art scroll the situation. In 270, Ba b'chasho yelai. Come to me privately. Okay. So he says, Asa, so he comes. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said to this Abba Sikra, Ad Eimas Avdisu Achi, how long are you doing this for? Meaning, how long are you going to do this for? V'katlisuli la'alma b'kafna. You're killing all the Jews with a famine. Meaning, by you guys burning this down, this chaos that you're creating, how long are we going to go on this for? So Amar Lei, so it's interesting. And this is actually very, very fascinating, because a lot of times you have this where even if like an ideology started, a person was involved, it went too far. So Amar Lei, my Ovid, the head of the thug, said, what do you want me to do? If I say anything, they're going to kill me. Meaning, I'm more of a moderate than they are, but at this point, if I say anything, I'm going to be killed. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says to this Abba Sikra, do me a favor, Epoch, get me out of Yerushalayim. If you remember, there was Yerushalayim was besieged, and so because these thugs didn't want the Rabbanim to make peace, in addition to burning down all the grain, they actually made a checkpoint. You could not leave Yerushalayim, because they were afraid that if the Rabbanim left Yerushalayim, they would go make peace with the Romans. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says to the head of the thugs, get me out of here. Get me out of Yerushalayim. Efshir d'hatzala pur t'lahava. Maybe I'll be able to make some sort of hatzala. Let me go talk to them. I'll do something. Okay. Amar Lei, nakit nashcha b'ktsira. This is his advice. Nakit nashcha b'ktsira. What does that mean? 274. Hachzik aktsmecha kechoyla. This is Rashi. Make yourself sick. Hoitzi koil shatachoyla. Meaning, spread the word that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is ill. Why? V'leisu kuli alma v'shailubach. And people are going to start checking in on you. Va'isi mida sarya va'ognibach. Take something that smells bad, put it near you. V'limr d'nech nafshach. And people will think that you died. Meaning, fake your death. Put something smelly near you on the bed, so it'll smell like you died. V'la'aylu bach talmidach. And let your students come and take you, who know the plan. And let no one else touch you. Meaning, we're going to fake your own death, and you're not going to be buried in Yerushalayim. They didn't bury in Yerushalayim. It's actually interesting. To my knowledge, one of the few kvarim in Yerushalayim itself, I mean, it's not in the old city, but in Yerushalayim is the Pnei Menachem. I don't know if you know this. It's fascinating. The Pnei Menachem and the Imre Emes. I don't know if you know the layout of Yerushalayim, but by the Shuk, Machne Yehuda, across the street from the Shuk, there's a small house that has two kvarim. It has the Imre Emes, which is the Sfas Emes' son, the head of the Ger Chassidim, and his son, the Pnei Menachem, who was the Rebbe a few Rebbes later. And the reason why they're buried there is because I believe the Imre Emes died, if I'm not mistaken, during 1948. And they couldn't get his body out because of the bombings. Because of the bombings, they couldn't. It was a war. They couldn't get him out. So they buried him mamish in a house, like Mamshin house, and then his son, the Pnei Menachem, wanted to be buried near his father. So they said to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, here's the deal, fake your own death, and tell the few students you're still alive, they'll carry your coffin out. Okay, now why can't you have other people carry the coffin? They're not going to know that you died. When you go to a funeral, you don't shake the body. He says, because you don't want them to feel that you're lighter. Because live weight is not as heavy as dead weight. And therefore, you don't want people carrying the body unless they know the whole ruse, or else they'll find out. This is what he did. It's very interesting. So he had on one side Rav Eliezer the Tana, Rav Yeshua Mitzar Acher, and the great Rav Yeshua, the Rebbe of Rav Akiva, was on the other side. Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua. It's also interesting, they usually argue with each other. Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua are always the ones that argue, but they're carrying Rav Yechim and Zakkai. Came out to the Pischas, and they got to the entrance of Yishalayim, Boy Lemidkare. So, what does that mean? So if you look in 278, Boy Hanich Ber Yunei, the guards, these thug guards, wanted Lemidkare Beramochim. They wanted to stab the body. That was their way, because this is how far it got, that they wanted to stab Rav Yechim and Zakkai because they wanted to make sure that he wasn't faking his own death. So they said, if he's actually dead, we'll stab the body, and what should be the problem? So Amar Luhus, the Rabbonim said, Yoimru Rabban Dekaru. The Romans are going to say that we stab our own Rabbonim. Well, no way, you can't do this. Okay, so they say, fine, we won't stab him, but Lemitchava, we're just going to shake him a lot. Meaning, we'll just rough him up a bit. We'll just push the body and shove the body and kick the body and see if he makes any noise. So Amar Lahu, Yoimu Rabban Dachman, they're going to say, he said the Romans are going to say, you punch your dead Rabbonim, what's going on over here? So Pischuli Baba, they opened the door, he left Yerushalayim. That's that part of the story. Kimat Lahasim, so Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai gets out and he goes to see the head of the Romans. So Amar, so I believe this is, so this is the general. It's not the Caesar, this is the general. So Kimat Lahasim, he gets there, Amar, Shalom Alecha Malka. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai says to Aspasinus, how are you the king? So Shalom Alecha Malka, Shalom Alecha Malka. Amar Le, Aspasinus responds, Trei Katal Mechayv, I should kill you twice. Meaning what you just did, no good. Why? Chada lav malkana. First of all, I'm not a king. The kakaris of malka. Don't call me a king if I'm not a king. Vesu imalkana adha inna my loyachas agaboy. If I'm actually a king, like you say, then why didn't you see me until this point? There's been a siege going on for a while. If I'm such a grace a king, why didn't you come to greet me? So Amarle, so Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai responded to that. Dekamer lav malkat. Let's go through each argument. First of all, you said you're not a king. Ibra malkat. First of all, I believe you are a king, or at least you're destined to be a king. Why? Do you love Malkaat? Because if you were not a king, lo have a mimser or Yerushalayim biyadecha. Yerushalayim would not be given over to you. Meaning, Rav Yechim and Zakkai is saying, I see that Yerushalayim is being given over to you. Yerushalayim is not going to be conquered by someone that's not a king, or at least destined to be a king. Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, v'halvonon, the Levonon, which usually means a forest. I mean Lebanon, but it means a forest. But it's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim. Ba'adir yipo. That Yerushalayim will fall, ba'adir. Ein adir el ha-melech. Adir is a reference to a king. Yerushalayim will only fall. The Mara will explain in a little bit why. But Yerushalayim will only fall to the hands of a king. And therefore, the fact that Yerushalayim is falling into your hands means that if you're not a king now, you will be a king. Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, v'hoya adiru mimenu. And what's Livanon? So that Livanon will fall in the hands of a king. What is Livanon? Ein Livanon ala Beis HaMikdash. The Livanon, the forest of Livanon, is the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Hahar HaToiv HaZeh V'Halvanon. This great mountain, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash V'Halvanon, it's a reference, it's called the Livanon. We'll see why in a moment. So the first Taina that you said that I'm not a king, you're on your way. Udika Amrit. And the second taina, which is imalka no amaylo kaosis lagabe yada inna, your second claim against me, which is that if I'm taka king, why didn't I come to visit you? Biryuni de isban lo shafkinon. Those thugs didn't let me, so I did nothing wrong. So Amarle, so Aspasinus responds to Rav Yechim and Zakkai, ilu chavis shel dvash v'darkon karach aleha lohe yushayvrin es achavis b'shvil darkon. If you have a chavis shel dvash, you have a pot full of honey. And there's darkon karach aleha. There's a snake wrapped around it. Lo yah yushayvin es achavis eshel darkon. You break the barrel to get the snake out. What does that mean? So look in the bottom, 288. He said, if you have a barrel, which is a very beautiful barrel, but you got a snake inside, what do? You break the barrel to let the snake out. So if you have Yerushalayim, and you tell them you have all these thugs, they're not letting you. So break the walls of Yerushalayim to let the thugs out. Meaning, if these thugs are such a big problem, break the walls of Yerushalayim to let the thugs out, the same way you would do a snake.
So, the end of siege.
Correct. So Ishtik, he's quiet. Rabbi Yechim and Zaka is quiet. He didn't respond to that. We'll see why in a moment. So says the Gemara, Karla Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef heard this back and forth, he said, Vitem Rav Akiva, and some say Rav Akiva, the pasuk says, Meshiv Chachamim Ocher V'daitam Yisachal. Hashem turns the Chachamim backwards, meaning, sometimes Hashem takes away their ability to respond because he wants them to be quiet. Meaning, in other words, there is an easy response Rav Yechon Ben Zaka could have said to the whole snake in the jar thing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away, Hashem didn't want him to be quiet. Why? What could have he responded? Yibayla l'meymar, he could have responded, Shaklin and Savta v'shaklin l'dark and v'kotun le. You don't break the barrel. You take tongs and you remove the snake. V'chavisa shavkin le. You leave the barrel as is. If you look in the bottom, 290, Pirish. Hayalal Rav Yochan Alanis. Rav Yochan could have responded, Shaloichem es tzavat v'noitem anu es adarkin. V'hargim ha'si, you take out the snake and kill it. Meaning, we don't destroy Yerushalayim. You get rid of the bad people. I'm not. It's not a tight on me for not destroying you. You don't destroy Yerushalayim. You get rid of the cancer. You don't destroy the body. You don't kill the patient. Okay, fine. But that well, he could have responded, but he didn't. Adahachi. While this is going on, Asi Pristika Alem Merumi. This while they're talking, this Roman messenger shows up. Amar Lei Kum. He says to Aspinus, stand up, the Miss Caesar, because at this moment the Caesar died. And you're now in charge. You're now the king. So all of a sudden, Rav Yechim and Zakeh said, Taka came true. Now, what's interesting, and the Maral, we'll talk about this. Have a Messiah Chad Messani. Apparently, while this is happening, he only had one shoe on. He was getting dressed, I guess. He was getting undressed, whatever it was. He only had one shoe on. Boy Lamimse Achrina. He couldn't get the other shoe on. From hearing the news, his foot swelled. And loy ayil, his shoe would not go on. If you look in the bottom, loy nichlasa ragla lanal, the shoe would not go on. So boy mishvil idach, loy nafik. He couldn't take the other shoe off. Meaning, in other words, he was wearing one shoe when he heard the news. His feet swelled. So he couldn't get the other shoe on, he couldn't get the other shoe off. He was stuck with one shoe. So Amar Lei, again, the Maral is going to explain, maybe tomorrow we'll deal with this, but it's interesting. Amar Lei, so Rav Yechim and Zaka said, Loi titztar, don't be worried. Shmua toiva asalach, you just heard good news. Dichsiv u shmua toiva tidshan etzem. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, good news tidshan etzem, makes the bones fatter, meaning it caused you to have swollen, is from the immediate good news. So what you got to do is, it's not alarming. Elamaita kante, so what's your etza? Let someone come over here who you don't like. That'll offset the good news. Let him walk in front of you. The pasuk says, a depression causes the swelling to go away. Yes, he calls someone he doesn't like, aisle, and his feet went back into normal. Okay. By the way, also, very interesting of why this is being mentioned in there. There are basically only two svarim that, like, there's three basic approaches. Whenever you deal with these type of gemaras, outside of, like, Rabbi Nachman, there's basically three mafarshim. You have the Marsha, you have the Maral, and you have the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai. So we're going to go to the Maral, we'll explain. Amar Lei, so the Caesar says, Aspina says, U'me'achet echachim is kuli hai. If you're so wise that you're able to help me with the swollen stuff, you're able to have it. How come you didn't see me till now? It's a strange thing. He says, Amar Lei, Loi Amrilach. I already told you why, because of the thugs. Amar Lei, Anonami Amrilach. And he said, and I responded to you as well, that you should have destroyed the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay. Amar Lei, Mezel Azlina. So Aspina says, that's also an interesting back and forth. They never resolved that. So Amar Lei, so Aspina says like this, Mezel Azlina, I'm leaving now. I'm no longer dealing with the siege. I'm now in charge of Rome. So I'm going. In a shachrina mashterina, I'm going to send another person in my place. Elaboy mina midi datein loch. But just ask for something and I'll give it to you. It's actually a very interesting thing because I spoke about this past Shabbos a little bit. It's an interesting thing because this next Gemara has a lot of ramifications of how to ask, and sometimes not dreaming small, especially when it comes to bakashas. So he says like this. So we'll finish this paragraph. You'll see it actually has a lot of ramifications. So he says, ask me for something, and I'll give it to you. So, Amar le, tein li Yavne v'chachameha. Rav Yechon ben Zakkai says, first of all, I want the city of Yavne and its chacham to be saved. I want you to protect the city of Yavne and its chacham. Shushilta de Rav Gamliel. I want the power of Rav Gamliel. What does that mean? If you look in the bottom of 307, quotes Rashi, Mishpechas Anosi. Rav Gamliel was from the family of the Nasiim, going back to Hillel. Shaloi Targim. I want you to protect the Rabbonim of Yavne, the city of Yavne. I want you to keep the lineage Rav Gamliel's family safe because they were the Nasiim. I don't want you to touch his family. And the last, Asvasa de Rav Tzadik. I want you to heal Rav Tzadik. Rav Tzadik, he referenced earlier, was the Rav that would suck on the date because he had been fasting for so many years. He says, I want you to heal him. But Rav Tzadik had fasted for so long that his body was not recovering. He couldn't really eat it at that point. I want you to send doctors to heal Rav Tzadik. If you look in the bottom 308, Roifim, Tein li li manshecha sheyirpus Rav Tzadik, sheyachal avloya oichal afneshe skatsumai betanisle. He had fasted for so long that he had done real damage to his intestines. I need you to send good doctors to heal him. So, Kala Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef heard this, and his same formula, Rav Akiva, and some say Rav Akiva, the exact same thing, which is, meishich lamoch, avadayt misakal. Sometimes the chacham turn their backwards, meaning, what an opportunity wasted. Why? He's telling you he can answer all, he'll do anything you want. So say, stop fighting Yerushalayim. Meaning, instead of asking for Yavne and Rav Gamliel and Rav Tzadik, go big and just say, leave us alone. If you look at 309, he says, Pirish, Haim Savashari, the Rav Yechon Zekel, Lavakashia Niach Lehem Lagamri, Bepamazois. You should have just left us alone, Lagamri, that you should have asked for the entire city, the siege of the Romans should stop. So why did Rav Yechon and Ben Zakkai not do this? Vahu Savar, it wasn't that he didn't think of it, he thought about it. Vahu Savar, Dilmakuli Hailayovit, Vatsala Porti Namalayavit. He felt that sometimes when you go for too big, you end up getting nothing. Mm-hmm. He felt that if he asked for so big, that was never going to happen. Meaning, the stopping the siege of Yerushalayim was never, that was too far in. And if he asks for that, then he won't even get the things that he asks for. So it's an interesting thing. It's sort of a little bit like when it comes to davening. I mentioned from the Rishonah that sometimes you limit so much of tefillahs. I didn't really get into it, but the mashal is the dancing shoes that I've mentioned many times. But the Svarim describe it, I think the Mabit describes it as, you knock on someone's door, a poor person knocks on someone, a wealthy person's door, and he wants, let's say, flour, let's just go with money. And he says, can you fill the pouch with money? So the rich person says, I'll do it, but why'd you bring such a small pouch? Meaning, I'd be willing to fill it more. Now that you asked this, I'll limit to what you said. So it's a similar thing when you're davening. Don't limit too much, because you could have, maybe Hashem would have been able to, sometimes you have it with people like, how much money do you want me to give? $100. And I understand the svara, because the head of the organization doesn't want to say $10,000, because the guy's like, yeah, now you're being ridiculous. But on the other hand, he might have given $10,000, and that's always that difficult balance. That was the machloikas of Yechon ben Zakkai and Rav Akiva. Rav Yechon ben Zakkai felt that I'm not going to ask to stop the siege of Yerushalayim, that's too much. Rav Akiva says, you should have. And it's an interesting thing when it comes to davening, you know what I mean?
When it comes to...
It's a good point. I don't think Rav Yechon ben Zakkai would apply his rationale to davening. But it's interesting of, you see that mentality that affected this. It definitely affects people's davening as well. They're much more limited in scope. But it's an interesting back and forth. So let's start it. We'll see how much we can do. Time-wise, you good?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's go a little weiter. We'll go to the next, till Kuf test with the shoes, because that's a whole separate sugi. Let's start over here. He mentions that Rav Yechon ben Zakkai said, you must be a king. Why? Because the pasuk says in Mishle, Halvanon ba'adar yipol, that the Levanon, the forest of Levanon, will fall in the hands of a king. Tam shenigra Beis Hamikdash Levanon. Why is the Beis Hamikdash called Levanon? The Eretz Yisrael nigra har. Because the pasuk says, right, Hahar hatov hazeh, that's Eretz Yisrael, Hahar hatov hazeh, v'halvanon. It's on over here, Kufvav, the second paragraph, the top of the second paragraph. Hahar hatov hazeh, Ahar HaTov HaZeh V'Hal Vanon. So Ahar HaTov HaZeh is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, V'Hal Levanon is the Beis HaMikdash. Why is Eretz Yisrael called a mountain, and the Beis HaMikdash is called Levanon, which again, I believe is a forest? He says, Shenemar, Ha'or atov az halvanon. Ki ha'or muvdil min ha'oretz b'sorem musay. He says, you want to know why Eretz Yisrael is called a mountain? Because the same way a mountain is different than flatlands, it's separated. Muvdil min ha'oretz b'sorem musay. It's higher and more exalted, and it's clearly different, it's clearly distinct. Kach Eretz Yisrael muvdil m'kol ha'oretz b'sorem musay. So to Eretz Yisrael, it might look like it's different. It's a different place. It's a more holy place. In the same way that you have flatlands, a mountain, it's clearly different and distinct. So to Eretz Yisrael is distinct from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. But why isn't it called a forest or levanon? Eina nivdil gamri. It's not fully separate. Rakimoy ha'har she'ena muvdil gamri shishem eretz alav gamkin. You see, the mountain is still called Eretz. It's still called Eretz. It's different in the way it appears, but it's not that different. Avol Beis Hamikdash nikru Levanon. But Beis Hamikdash is called Levanon. Levanon is a reference to a specific forest called the Levanon, but it's a forest. So he says like this, the way a mountain, Eretz Yisrael is described as a mountain because it's distinct from the rest of the area, but you know what? It's still something you could walk right through. It might be a little taller, but it still looks, the actual land itself looks the same. And it's just higher up. It's basically the same land, just lifted up. So to Eretz Yisrael, it's on a higher plane than the Rega. But it's not, but the Beis HaMikdash is different. Why? He says, Mikomokam eina nivdil gamri. Although it's a mountain, it's not completely separate. Rakimoy ha'har. It's like a mountain. She'ena muvdil gamri. A mountain is not completely separate. A mountain is the same basic thing. It's just a different shape. Shari shem Eretz olav gamkin. Because it's still called Eretz. It's called an Eretz. It's still called a land. Beis HaMikdash and Levanon. Beis HaMikdash is different. Why? Ki Levanon hu nivdil min ha'aretz. A forest is different. And when you're driving through, a forest feels like a different place. It feels like a different planet. It's not just that it looks different. You can't walk the same. You can't treat it the same. It has a whole different feel, legamri. So to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not just that it's different. It's clear different. It feels different. It's not even called the same thing. It's not even called Eretz. Ki levanon nivdil min ha'aretz. Sheri zeh levanon. Ve'ein sham Eretz alav. It's not called a land anymore. Rakhu mechuber la'aretz. Yes, it's connected, so it's still on planet Earth. Kach Beis HaMikdash. So too it is with the Beis HaMikdash. Nivdil mishar chelki ha'aretz. B'ktushas ramusa ha'kol ha'aretz. The Beis HaMikdash is mamish like a different world. It's just a different world on planet Earth. Ein sham aretz alav, hu nivdil mimenu, rak hu oymid be'eretz kamo yavon. It's just here, it's oymid be'eretz, but it's not really part of this planet anymore.
The Beis HaMikdash.
Va'oid yesh bazet dvarim gedalim. The truth is, there's something astounding, and that is, v'nizbayru b'chibir gevuras Hashem, which we talked about in the Sefer Gevuras Hashem, lama nikra Beis HaMikdash levanon, another aspect of why is the Beis HaMikdash called levanon, if you look into it, this will become clear. These two yesoides are the same, and they're really one. Another aspect that he says in the Sefer Gevuras Hashem that he focused on, that it's called Levanon, is Levon is Malbin. It means to whiten, that it whitens the sin. So it seems to say, so he says like here, if you look into this, you'll become clear. These are not two distinct, you say this. Meaning, in Netzach Yisrael, he describes the Beis HaMikdash as Levanon because it's a forest which looks different, which is separated. And in Gevuras Hashem, he says it's a Levanon because it whitens the sins. He says, they're really two, you say this. How so? Shebishvil shebeis HaMikdash nivdil b'malosai mishar chalkei adama. The very fact that it is separate, hu mal bin chet Yisrael, that itself whitens the sin. I'll explain in a moment. K'may she'omer sham, as we said over there in Yuma, lama nikra beis HaMikdash levanon, the Gemara says in Yuma, why is it that the Beis HaMikdash is called levanon? Shemal bin avaniseim shal Yisrael, because it whitens the sins of Klal Yisrael. Ki ein asaras achet, rak mitzad hamayla hanivdolus helikis. Because the real way to remove chet is by referencing the greatness of the Jewish soul. Meaning, in other words, one of the methodologies is of removing chet. One of the real ways to remove chet is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, the Gemara in Saita, Daf Gimel, it says that a Jewish person does not sin unless he has a Maisa Shtos, meaning Shaita. What it means is like this. There's two ways to say. The real tshuva is not just saying you're sorry. It's by referencing the fact that that wasn't the real me. You see, there's a big difference between someone that's a bad person that happens to do good things, or a good person that accidentally did a bad thing. And that's a fundamental difference of how you look at the person. Real tshuva, on Yom Kippur, or in general, what you're really accomplishing by saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that was not the real me. The real me is someone that, I'm a good person. I'm a good person who wants to do good. I made a mistake, and it wasn't, I lost my mind for a little bit. As opposed to saying, I am really the person that did that bad thing. That is me, but I'll try to do better. It's two different worlds. If you have a kid, right? You look at your kid, not you, but say anyone looks at their kid. You could look at your kid as, they're like, they're a bad person. But they could do better. Or you say, no. You remember them when they're looking, they're good, they're good. I know they're good. That's not the real them. It's external factors. It's the Yetzirah. All these things. But they're, deep down, they're good people. And it's worlds apart. The Iker Tshuva is by referencing the fact that Klal Yisrael is separate. Meaning they're different. They're, that's not the real them. They're really, really good people. They're people that want to serve Hashem. Sometimes, you make a mistake, but that's not the real them. On the contrary, they were just, the Yetzirah got them. And then and it's a fundamental difference of how you look at a person. And it says the Maral, Shemal bin Avnei Sein Shel Yisrael, Ki ein hasara zachet, rak mitzad hamayla hanivdelis halaki. Because the real way to remove the chet is mitzad hamayla hanivdelis, is by referencing that separation, by referencing that that's not the real them. They're not land. They're a forest. They're different. And that very, very fact itself, removes the chet.
You're highlighting
that by referencing, by highlighting that distinction, that itself removes the chet. Because then you realize all that sin wasn't the real them. Because the real them is removed and is exalted and is much higher. And all that chet was just them putting their head in the mud for a little bit. So he says, therefore, they're really two of the same yisoid. Because it's a levanon, because it's exalted and different, that itself whitens the chet. Because the Beis HaMikdash is sort of the embodiment of Klal Yisrael in place, in space. Which is interesting, in the Sefer Oris HaMoedim, it's not for now, but he has a very beautiful maimer that he says that was one of the attacks of Haman. Haman tried to get Klal Yisrael to sin with Ratzon. See, he didn't want, if you read the story of Purim, the big chet was going to the Suda. That was the Nenem Suda Sameh Achashverosh. It was going to Suda Achashverosh. If you notice, the Suda Achashverosh, the famous thing, Asher Kedos, right? That it was, and the Gemara and Megillah explains that the Suda was done, no forcing. There was no forced alcohol. Everyone got whatever they wanted. No one was forced to drink. Why was it so imperative that Haman made it that the Suda was with Ratzon? If no one was forced, everyone, you can come, you can go. No one's going to pour wine down your throat. Have a good time. Why was it necessary? So he talks with the Oris HaMoedim. Rav Zucker says is because Haman didn't want this excuse. Haman said, I don't want you to say coercion, that wasn't the real you. I want you to sin with Ratzon. I want that to be with Ratzon. And ultimately, it didn't work because at the end of the day, the real Ratzon of a Jew is to serve Hashem. And this is revealed as the famous Rambam, that the Rambam says, if they would hit a husband who doesn't give his wife a get, right? Right? You beat him until he says it's his desire. Why? Because the Rambam says, deep down, the Ratzon of a Jew is to serve Hashem. So therefore, Haman didn't understand that. Haman thought that even if it looks like it's Beratzon, it's not Beratzon. Because deep down, the Ratzon of Hashem is to serve, the Ratzon of a Jew is to serve Hashem. And I saw this. When did that happen? When did that sort of become concretized, that the Ratzon of a Jew is only to serve Hashem? And any chet is really, it's a momentary lapse of judgment. And even if it looks like it's Beratzon, it's not really Ratzon. So the Baal HaTanya says that took place when HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a mountain over our heads. You see, what he did was he forced Klal Yisrael under duress. He forced them to receive the Torah because what he wanted to show you is that when you force the Jew deep down, what's going to come out is Kabbalah Satar. Sometimes, and he says, so why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu force the Egyptians or force the Esav and Yishmael? He says, because their Ratzon deep down is not to serve me. And therefore, if I force them, that's not their real Ratzon coming out. But on the contrary, for Klal Yisrael, the real Ratzon is Taka to serve me. if you don't mind. And he says that's why Taka on Purim, where it was revealed that their Ratzon was only to serve him, that even when it looks like they were doing it the Ratzon, really the Gemara says that outwardly they were at the Suda, but inwardly they were not happy to be there, right? Ein Zeh Lefnim. So that's why at Dafka then they were also Makabel the Torah Bahava, because that's when they revealed, not that they were receiving the Torah anew, it's they revealed that when you put the mountains over our heads, that was always our Ratzon. You see, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain over Klal Yisrael's head, there's two ways to look at what happened. You could look at it as you forced us, we didn't want it to receive the Torah. Or it could be this much more deeper pshat, and that is, when you force a Jew deep down to serve Hashem, that's really what he wants. Because the Ratzon of a Jew is to serve Hashem. For thousands of years, it was up in the air. When Hashem put the mountains over our head, which one was it? The whole Indian of Purim revealed that even though it looks like the Ratzon of the Jew was to fight against Hashem, it was never really his Ratzon. His Ratzon is Dafka to serve him, and therefore they were Mekabel Ba'ahava. It doesn't mean that they were Mekabel something new. It revealed that that original coercion was Taka Ar-Ratzon. So says the Maral, these two Yesoidas are really coming in hand. The fact that it's separated itself purifies the sins of Klal Yisrael. Beis Hamikdash Malos Ishu Nevdo Min Hagashmi, because Beis Hamikdash is separated from the Gashmi is Hu Adama Kamay Halvaner Shu Nevdo Min Adama, just like the forest, which is separated. It's not called the same area. It's not. It's different. L'kachu Mechaper Malvan Vaneseyin Vein Kamokim Zeh. But Maral says I can't talk about this anymore. It's not the place. Let's just go one more paragraph and we'll stop. L'kachu Malosai, and therefore going back over here, what did Rav Yechim and Zakkai say? Rav Yechim HaZaki said, there's no way that the Beis HaMikdash will fall into someone who's not a king. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash is different. And there's no way the Beis HaMikdash will fall into the hands of someone who's regular. The Beis HaMikdash is not regular. And therefore, l'malosai, because of its greatness, ein roi sheyipa avon and rak b'ad melech. There's no way that the great Beis HaMikdash will fall into the hands of someone who's regular. Shegam kein ha-melech hu nivdol m'shara'am. The same way that you have different, spiritually, the Beis HaMikdash is different, so too, the king is different. Even Naku king, he's different. There's no way the Beis HaMikdash will fall, even meaning if the Beis HaMikdash is going to fall into someone's hand, he's going to be a big Rasha. He's going to be a special Rasha. Not a regular person. Ki davar zeh yidua, as a known, ki ha-melech hu nivdol m'kolam. The king is different. The king is separate. Halachically, the king has to act separate. The king is separate. And therefore, ein tzarich l'zabir, and I don't have to go into this. This is pashut. The king is not a regular guy. And that's why they would anoint kings, Jewish kings and non-Jewish kings. Right? Even now, the King Charles is anointed. There's an anointing that goes on. People don't realize this. They don't really televise it, but there's an anointing that goes on. Because anointing means separate. Kaddish means separate, different. Klal adaver, ki heishiv loy, ki halvanon. To summarize, the Levanon, that forest, that is the Beis HaMikdash, shenivdol memalosa, which is separate, yefshe sheyibol kim b'yad melech nivdol m'akol. It will only form the hands of a king that's separate, k'moy she Beis HaMikdash nivdol m'akol, l'fikach siv, v'alvanon, ba'adar yibol. That's what that means. We'll stop here.